We've been working with shows for 15 years now. And as we're working with those shows, we know who is open to what types of ads, what their availability is, the technology that they have associated with it, all the best practices of working with many of those shows. We already have that experience under our belt. And I think that's really kind of where Veritone One is helpful. And going to, you know, kind of what we initially talked about, kind of where kind of some of the goals of AI play into it.
Welcome, everybody. Veritone presents The Ears on AI, the podcast that dives into the many ways artificial intelligence is shaping our future for the better. I'm your host, Kevin Ells, and today we'll be talking with Stephen Smick, Veritone One's Senior Vice President of Podcasting and Influencer Marketing, about how we can harness AI to improve podcast ad effectiveness and efficiency. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me.
You know, you're known around here at Veritone as the Podfather. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Veritone One?
I think Podfather means I'm really old. I think that's what they're referencing. But I started an agency in 2002 that was we referenced it as a channel agnostic, meaning if it acquired new customers for a client, we'd give it a shot. We were really, really lucky in that one of our early and biggest clients was a company called Audible, who subsequently was purchased by Amazon. And I'm really thrilled to say that 20 years later, we're still working with them. But we were looking for new and unique ways pre-iPhone, any smartphone actually at that time. I think there were Trios, if I recall correctly. But other than that, there weren't a whole lot of opportunities to reach people who had devices that were connected. So we used podcasting as a tool to find consumers who were interested in spoken word content and actually owned an iPod, which was at that time pretty much mandatory if you were going to be an Audible customer. So we placed our first ads on behalf of Audible in podcast back in 2007, which was, well, a long time ago.
Gotcha. Now, audio's obviously exploded dramatically since the pandemic. There's reports that over last year, over 400,000 podcasts were debuted. People had time on their hands and they had time to talk. It's more than what happened over the history of podcasts, literally. And we're seeing a growth now of 104 million listeners right now, listening to podcasts. These audiences have become very diverse and probably a little bit of something for everybody. When you were back with Performance Bridge and you started seeing the potential for podcast advertising, can you walk us through that experience and the challenges you faced at that time?
Yeah, I mean, the industry was wildly different. As a matter of fact, there was no podcast industry to speak of. What we saw was a handful of interest, you know, hobby type podcasts where people would talk about their particular interest or hobby, and they would talk about it with a group of people, typically not a sizable audience. And it was tremendously fragmented, and the type of people who were listening, you know, it was very, very early adopter. It was not easy. Some would complain that it's not easy to listen to a podcast. Back then it was even more difficult. You would need to find the podcast. You'd need to have a device. Then you'd have to sync your device with your computer, move content from there, figure out how to get podcasts from feeds onto your iPod or your other MP3 player. So it was a very early adopter medium when we first started. It was, if you could afford to own an iPod and you were technologically sophisticated enough to use that iPod, you could listen to a podcast. Alternatively, you would listen to streams in browsers of shows when you would stumble across them. Over time, you know, obviously Apple adding podcasts to iTunes, you know, it was the first big step in kind of making it easier. And then obviously the morphing into iPhones and Apple producing a podcast app, adding them to Google Play many years ago. And then a variety of apps coming, and with the, you know, explosion of smartphones, and everybody having one, became significantly easier. And as it's eased and as we've seen new content created, so it's been this really interesting thing where we have new people come in looking for content. They find some content, they stick around for a little bit, and then there's a whole bunch of content chasing those people around.
Gotcha.
I remember 15 years ago when I would bring up podcasts to people and I would see people's eyes glaze over and they'd have absolutely no idea. Now when I bring up the word podcast, everybody is quick to tell me the podcast that they're listening to and what the best podcasts are. So it's been really, really fascinating growth from the consumer perspective. And then in the industry perspective from advertising, it's completely changed. It really truly is now a big industry. You know, it's fascinating to watch kind of the business grow and evolve.
I remember, I don't know what year it is, so I don't want to date myself, but my first MP3 player, I think it was a Rio MP3 player, and the capacity was maybe 200 songs, and people didn't even know what an MP3 is. Now we've got standards for, you know, sound compression and so forth. Are there standards that the industry follows for podcasting?
I would say that there are some standards in terms of, you know, certainly the creation of an RSS feed and how people list them in directories and kind of the, consolidating the distribution channels. I think there are some. I think the great thing about podcasting is that a lot of the standardization, besides it being an MP3 file and besides it being listed in a directory and on an RSS feed, there's so many different types of podcasts. There is no one thing that can or should be a podcast. It can be episodic content. It can be one-offs. It can be, it can be updated daily, hourly, monthly, So it's really kind of fascinating. As long as, as far as we're concerned, if it's in a downloadable format or streamable format and it's audio, it's a podcast.
So it's really evolved and grown. I mean, when I was doing some research on how to develop podcasts and looking, there were podcasts that were 10 minutes. There's podcasts that are 3 hours. It's kind of like a book. A book could be a very short read, or it could be a novel for that matter. And I would have never thought it to be that way when it first started. I thought it was a quick, a quick 20-minute conversation and just something to fill some time. But now it's really adapted to be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are a ton of 5-minute podcasts out there.
Really?
That are just like the daily tip, the daily this, the daily that, and your point, there are some long, we'll call them, to be polite, long form content that can stretch on for long periods of time. And it depends. Some people split those into different episodes. Some people don't want to split them into episodes. So I think that there's production questions. There's, a number of questions that kind of impact how that content usually comes out. It may be audiobook form, right? It could be 18, 20 hours. Typically, though, we'll see that the significant majority of what we see out there is typically 25 to 45 minutes, with a number, hitting up to an hour. But that's kind of seems to be the new sweet spot.
Yeah, that kind of leads to my next question. So with all the different formats, not formats, but lengths, I'll just use lengths as the term for the different styles of podcasts. What kind of challenges people have today advertising into that format?
Advertising has continually morphed, to fit as the industry kind of grows and expands. And really what we've seen is, the advent of this turning into a mass media, right? And we have media companies that are coming in that have production studios and which are wildly different than the way that the industry started, right? We had a lot of people doing shows out of their garage. And if they were really, really lucky, they would do some post. and today now it's done, there's a tremendous amount of posts. There's a tremendous amount of production. So, as that's changed, ads have changed, right? When we initially started placing ads, we would call a host and say, gee, we really, really like your show. We think that this client or that client would be a perfect fit. And at the beginning, it was almost all exclusively, we think Audible would be a great fit. If you're talking about American history, or if you're talking about sports, or if you're talking about whatever you may, technology, if you're the Steve Jobs autobiography may be a great book for you to recommend to people if you're into Audible. Barack Obama's. I'm going through some of the biggest titles that we have used over the years. You know, those are the kind of things where we would sit with a host and we talk to them and we'd find out their interest in our clients. And they would just write directly in it a live read, talk about how their customer or they use this product and this is what they really, really like. Today, that's, you know, kind of evolved. We still have a number of ad reads that are like that. But now, as we're dealing with larger media companies, you know, sometimes hosts won't talk about their personal experience with the product. So we've seen kind of evolutions in terms of how and what hosts will read. And depending on the show and the size of the show and who owns the show, what we can do. And then secondly, there's a whole bunch of technology that's changed. So the only way before was a podcast needed to be one file, right? So you would have to basically do that ad right in the show. And then an advent of ad tech came out as the industry started to take off, where people would start, you know, there were ad servers. So you could dynamically serve different ads into different content. So it's really, really fascinating to kind of watch how that's grown. And I think the one constant that we see is that people will respond to a host. They are making the choice to listen to a host, and a host is typically sharing their opinions on life, politics, sports, whatever it may be. So when that host is talking about a product or a service that they've actually used and they can actually talk about how that's impacted their life, we see a tremendous amount of positive response from consumers. And that's really, I think, the joy of podcast advertising is to really create that relationship between a host, a product, and an end consumer.
Yeah, I saw that recently reported. PBS was talking about it, how they're very trusted by their listeners. And therefore, anybody who's sponsoring PBS is also trusted. So the association there, the influencer, but the influencer isn't a person in this case, it's the whole brand of PBS.
Yeah, and it goes again to that kind of, you know, there are some media companies that are trusted. And then there are some media companies that may not have that same level of influence. And that same level of trust. And in those areas, it's the host, right? And in a lot of these instances, and really kind of, you know, I really love podcast advertising for a variety of reasons. One of the most positive things that I've seen in my experience in the last 15 years is going to a host and talking to them about a product or a service, and they come back and say, I've used the product. I don't really feel comfortable talking about it. Like to have that level of authenticity and honesty, like I'm not going to talk about something, you know, if I don't love it, I think is really refreshing. So those are the types of things I think that we've seen. Now, as podcasting evolves and podcasting, you know, turns into this larger and larger medium where maybe you don't have those, you know, maybe it turns into more of a broadcast medium where you're having scripted ads, maybe, you know, more akin to what you see in radio or in TV, you know, where you have more scripted type ads, you know, those kind of old school podcasting things will probably be less common. But I do think that it is a core and a unique proposition of podcasting is kind of that one-on-one relationship and one-on-one communication.
Friend of mine, a VP of marketing for another company, I was talking to him about how I was involved in the podcast industry, and he's like, well, I'd love to advertise there, but I don't know where to advertise because literally the average podcast has 100 listeners, and I don't want to go out there and find 10,000 podcasts that I have to spread my advertising dollar across. How can people do this? How do people advertise today with podcasting, knowing that they can't be going out looking for the 400,000, going through 400,000 podcasts, finding the right fit for their ad?
Well, first thing is you should give them my name and number.
But could you spell it out for us? How's that last name spelled?
That's SMYK.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's a very valid question. I mean, there's so many things that go into a podcast campaign. that I think that's one of the key things is, A, what's the right mix of shows? You know, it should I be on one show? Should I be on 100 shows? Should I be on 1,000 shows? What size of show should I be looking for? And there are a lot of different, you know, depending on goals, depending on these, you know, there's so many different ways to approach this. So typically when we're engaging with a client and we're looking at setting up a campaign, those are the types of questions that we ask. You know, there's a difference between awareness. There's a difference between, you know, we look at contextual relevancy. We look at this. We look at all of these different areas, that, you know, demo, historical performance, ad read quality, ad length, ad placement. Like there's so many different things. But to that specific question, typically the way that we look at it is we want to find all of the contextually relevant material, like the really, really hyper-targeted material. And we start there, and then we build from there to expand and look at additional shows. Now, that may mean that you have some really, really small shows, but if it's hitting the audience that you really want and you have a hype, you know, you have a really, really small group of people that you're trying to reach, that's great, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Very, very hard to, I'm trying to think of a great example here without using client stuff, but if you want to hit ultra marathoners, you know, and you want to, you have a product that speaks to people that run 100-mile races, and we won't bring their sanity into it. But if you want to reach,
but you've got a captured audience right there, because I'm sure they listen to a lot of podcasts.
They're listening to a lot of podcasts. But there's an example of there are ultra marathon podcasts out there. Right. So the ability to be able to tap into a show like that and know that every single person in that audience is either living vicariously through an ultramarathoner or is somebody who is an ultramarathoner, like the ability to find those really, really targeted audiences, I think is so critical to making podcasting successful for an advertiser. Now, as you expand past that and you say, okay, gee, maybe we want to reach marathoners, or maybe we want to reach half marathoners, or maybe we want to reach people who are 5K, or maybe we just want to find people who do exercise or whatever. Like you expand slowly that target to find out where these pockets are. And podcasting allows that opportunity to be able to do that. Then you can layer on, as we would in many other channels, audience segmenting and other things to identify. We want men of this age, or we want women of this age. So a tremendous amount of different ways to approach it. But I that's one reason why companies, you know, hire us.
I was going
to
say, I mean, without you guys, who could possibly be reviewing 400,000 podcasts to find the right match for my ads?
You have to be fairly dedicated. but it's, and it is, it's one of those where if all you care about are ultramarathon podcasts, you're probably better off doing it without our involvement. Right? Like there's a very, very small segment there. You can reach out, you can have that relationship, and you can create it, and you're only managing a handful of shows. It's when you take that next step and now all of a sudden you're managing 20, 30 shows, right? How do you kind of, you know, and I think that's where a lot of our value comes in. And then as you continue to expand that, you know, we've been working with shows for 15 years now. And as we're working with those shows, we know who is open to what types of ads, what their availability is, you know, the technology that they have associated with it, all the best practices of working with many of those shows. We already have that experience under our belt. And I think that's really kind of where Veritone One is helpful. And going to, you know, kind of what we initially talked about, kind of where kind of some of the goals of AI play into it.
I imagine the kind of things you can do to help advertisers with their ad effectiveness and efficiency is tell them what kind of ads work in this space, how long the message is working, how often to do it. That's the kind of challenges I would imagine if I was an advertiser. It's like, I know how to advertise, but I don't know how to advertise here.
So certainly one of the things that we're always looking at, and we look at this, you know, for many years we were doing it manually. And today, you know, we've gotten, you know, as we've gotten better technology and tools to be able, you know, as we've developed those internally.
AI.
Yeah. We look at things and, you know, as we talk about industry best practices, is like, where is the placement in the show? You know, we don't want it too early, we don't want it too late. People stop listening after a period of time, or they may skip through the first 30 seconds if they know there's an ad there every, you know, at every show. So it's a combination of finding A, the right place, and then B, the right length. We know the longer an ad is, to horribly overgeneralize, the longer the ad is, typically it does better. Once you get past a certain point and it's too long, it reduces efficiency. So, you know, we kind of look at what shows when they do ad reads will do longer ad reads that are in these spots. So these are all things that kind of go into as we're developing a plan for somebody, right? We're looking at all of these different areas. And the joy of technology is that was all done manually at one point. Now with the technology in place, we're able to measure, you know, we find automatically when our ads are in places, we transcribe them, we run a number of, you know, we run it through a number of engines to figure out.
You can listen to it, you can transcribe it, you can translate it, you could look for certain words and then index it, say, okay, this is sports about football mentioning this guy even.
Exactly. And looking at genres, at looking at hosts, and looking at, you know, length of ad reads, placement of ad reads in the show, all of these things to then start really building a solution that says, gee, for these types of ad reads, these are the best placements. And now how do we go out into the industry and find all of these ad placements across, you know, across hundreds of thousands of shows? Now I say hundreds of thousands of shows. There's really kind of, you know, to your point earlier, once a show, it gets to, you know, is if it's too small, it really doesn't make a lot of sense in many instances for an advertiser to be there. Just the reach isn't there. Again, you know, if it's hyper-targeted to a specific thing, great. But if you, as you kind of expand that and you say, gee, we're finding, you know, that this ad read is working, but we need it to be of a certain size so that it makes sense for everybody. It makes sense for the host that the host can make enough money. It makes sense for the client that they've spent the time and the effort to set up everything associated with that ad read. So as we're looking at these, we have a number of tools and technology that allow us to identify best places, best practices, best executions, and really allow us to expand a campaign past that initial core group that we know just, you know, is contextually relevant.
So we Veritone One offers not only the ability to place ads, but also for people who want to have advertisers, they come to you and go, listen, I want to have advertising on my show. That's available.
People are always reaching out to us. I think one of the things is with having the large client base that we have, you know, we are always known in the industry as if you've got ad space to sell, call Veritone. They've got a bunch of clients that are looking for ad space. So we do get a lot of podcasters that reach out to us. Asking about, hey, do you have any clients that are interested in sponsoring this? We are in our contractual and fiduciary responsibility is to the client that we're buying ads for, but we're always looking for new content to place our clients in, right? It's the one interesting thing and one thing that I've really been fascinated about as the industry's grown is how do we always find new content and new shows?
What kind of ways do you see podcasting evolving? I was thinking, I mean, obviously it doesn't really work when I'm listening with a device on my arm and I'm jogging, but is there a possibility that the podcast will start showing ads on the device, even on your screen on your car or the screen on your phone? They start running visual display type advertising.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, certainly we have seen a kind of the evolution here of, you know, of audio only to more audio and video, to where a number of podcasts now actually simulcast the recording of their audio on YouTube, right? So they'll do a live YouTube feed or a Facebook live feed or whatever while they're recording the audio version of their show. So certainly there are, and I think it really comes down to there's two types of podcast. There's active and passive podcast consumption. Yep. And I think, you know, the significant majority historically has been passive. And it's usually you're multitasking, you're driving, mm-hmm. you're running, you're doing whatever. There's no way for you to you know, there's no real interaction there.
If there was, you wouldn't be watching TV in the first place.
That's right. And, you know, you'd crash your car right. If there was too much active, you know, as you're listening to your podcast. Now that's, you know, when you get into things and the technology is really interesting. Not only do you have a video component, but now you have Clubhouse and these other tools and technologies that are allowing different interaction with listeners. So, you know, some of the tools and some of the new platforms coming out, allowing for communication between two people and to take questions and other things, live questions from audience members. So, fascinating. I think there will be portions of the industry that will become more active. Mm-hmm. But I do think that in terms of as a multitasking medium, whether you're making dinner or whether you're, you know, driving, whether you're whatever that may be, there's always going to be this huge component of this more passive listener.
Got it. All right. This has been really informative. I appreciate you taking the time here to work with me here and share this information. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we end our session here about things you see in the future, things you'd like to see, the way Veritone One's evolving, AI evolving?
Yeah, I mean... And I've said this for years, amazing time to be in podcasting, right? It continues to grow. It continues, you know, adoption, consumer adoption's amazing. The commitment of companies, certainly when you see Amazon and Spotify and Apple and Google and everybody making these larger and larger commitments, some in acquisitions, some in new tools and technologies, you know, it's a particularly fascinating time. I think it's still really, really, really early, right?
Really?
There's no doubt that we're moving to, you know, this on-demand audio world.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're moving away from broadcasting.
Yep.
And so I think that, and this goes to podcasting being able to, you know, you can do anything if it's recorded audio and call it a podcast. So I think that it's really fascinating from that perspective that, you know, my personal belief is that all of your audio content will be on demand. Yep. Right. Yep. Maybe if you're listening to live sport, akin to what we're seeing in TV, right? Like, you know, broadcast TV, Super Bowl, Oscars, and even to an extent, some of those aren't seeing the ratings that they saw before.
And they were recorded for the most part this year because of the pandemic.
That's right. Yep.
And that actually, in some cases, made it a better show because it was less about the cloud clapping and the long speeches, and it was more about getting to you know, the highlights, kind of picking up the pace from that 3-hour.
Yeah, and I think that that's, you know, I think there's no doubt that's going to come to audio, right? Like, it already has to a big degree. It'll continue to do so. So I think that it's still really early in podcasting. I think the other interesting thing is going to be kind of the evolution of ad-free and ad-supported podcasting, which obviously impacts us. You know, one of the things that we've seen in the pandemic is as people are migrating to their Netflix or to their subscription-based streaming video platforms that don't have and aren't ad-supported, mm-hmm. The ability to reach consumers of certain audience groups is getting more and more difficult.
Yep.
And I think podcasting is uniquely situated to continue to be a really, really great way to reach audiences that you can't reach in other ways through other ad mediums. So from that perspective, I'm very bullish on podcasting. And lastly, just watching the amount of money and the amount of new content being created. To your point earlier, you know, we get notifications of new shows so frequently, we kind of chuckle because, you know, years ago we would hear one
ding,
or two.
Ding, yeah, ding, ding, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Like, and turn off the buzzer.
Yeah. It's been really, really fascinating to kind of watch how that is. Yeah, so I'm tremendously bullish on podcasting right now, and certainly we're seeing clients from an advertising perspective rapidly adopting since the pandemic. You know, early in the pandemic, there was some concerns about listenership, and what we found was after a short period of time where there was a dip in listenership, people found podcasting and found ways to fit podcasts in their life when they no longer had a commute.
Yeah, they got their habits changing. Yep.
Yeah, and the numbers have just continued to grow. And I think that's a huge testament. Like, it was really a question, like, is podcasting only a commuter? channel. And we found that it isn't. Like, it's, you know, increased so dramatically over the last year. It's really great to see.
We still have 24 hours in a day.
Still have 24 hours a day, and people are always looking for new information and to be entertained. And there's the great thing about podcasting. If you're interested in something, there's a podcast somewhere about it. May not be a great podcast, but there's a podcast out there that'll talk about it.
Well, I'll close on that remark. So first of all, I hope this was somewhat entertaining, and I hope folks enjoyed it, and I hope it was worth their time, and it was certainly worth my time to spend it with you, Stephen. So thank you very much for sharing this information with me. I look forward to catching up with you in the future and seeing how it's changed from where we were today.
An absolute pleasure, Kevin. Anytime, you just give me a ring.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
And thank you to our audience for listening to Ears on AI from Veritone. Join us again next time when we discuss more ways AI is changing the world and shaping our future for the better. Have a great day.